Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Drops the pass off to Giannis inside. He muscles his way through and stuffs it down again. That's six dunks in this game for Giannis.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And that's going to do it. The Bucks still unbeaten in NBA Cup round robin play.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, almost the tale of two halves tonight from the Bucks, as that first half, and really the first quarter or so, was everything the Chicago Bulls wanted. It's exactly how the Bulls have played and found a large deal of success so far this season, in up-tempo pace, getting into fast break, and taking a lot of threes. It wasn't working for the Bucks, as much as we've talked about a group that's transformed themselves. They're still one of the older teams in the league, which is hard to believe. It's largely tied into three players. But they're a younger team, a more athletic team, and a team that's more built to get up and down the floor. It's still not to the level of the Chicago Bulls and how they have done it so far this season. That is one of the things that really stood out in the first half of play tonight, where the Bucks took a one-point lead in a halftime. But you felt incredibly fortunate to not only be in front, to be in that game with the way the Bucks were shooting the basketball, some of the other areas that have been problems throughout the course of this season, turnovers in your interior defense when Miles Turner and or Giannis were off the floor. The Chicago Bulls felt as though they outplayed you. And we had this conversation during halftime off the air with the Bulls radio broadcast team, who both said the same thing of, we feel like we're winning this game. We have dominated the tempo. We've made more shots. We haven't hit threes either. Everything, when you look at all the numbers, it feels like the worm is going to turn and this is going to go our way. And that worm did turn. But what it was the Bucks leaning into size and being a much more physical team than the Bulls in those final 24 minutes. It also helps when Giannis starts to play like Giannis usually does. I mean, that was maybe the biggest outlier or weirder part of the first half in tonight's game, the missed shots at the rim for Giannis and really for this Bucks team as a whole, who came into this game tonight shooting an NBA best 77% at the rim. That would be the highest number in the history of the Bucks franchise. That's how good they have been converting that close to the basket, and they just weren't doing it through the first half of tonight's game. But everything changed in the second half, and there's a lot to touch on here in this victory tonight. 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks win this game. Behind, I mentioned a lot to talk about, not to get lost in the shuffle. 41 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists from Giannis. And he does it, granted, on 30 shots. But he does it sticking with it when the shot wasn't falling. You know, the finger roll that missed in the first half, other shots at the rim. More physicality from the Bulls. And Giannis not getting those calls. You could see a couple of trips down the floor where he was looking in transition to get rid of the ball early, probably knowing he's not going to get the call. And that changes how the Bulls are able to defend you. It led to quicker shots that did not go through. And those things started to change in the second half when Giannis hit those shots. 23 points for Miles Turner. Arguably his best game in a Bucks uniform. It's the most points he scored since joining the Bucks. But again, impactful defensively. Quick hands, four steals tonight for Miles Turner. And speaking of steals, Ryan Rollins came into play tonight, second in the league in deflections, just four behind Dyson Daniels. He got some more tonight. He also got three more steals tonight and finished with his third 20-point game of the season. Those three players statistically jumped off the page, but Kyle Kuzma turned in another fabulous game tonight for the Bucks on both ends of the floor in this victory. One of the five double-digit scores, eight rebounds, and terrific defense all through this game tonight, especially in the second half. So a lot of positives and a lot more coming in the second half for the Bucks, who are now 6-3 and head into a big one with the Houston Rockets on Sunday. 855-616-1620. That is the Siding Unlimited Talking text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at each of those four names we mentioned individually, the impacts that they've made, and in the case of Kyle Kuzma, throughout the course of the season, the impact that we have seen from Kuz, and preview that big one with the Houston Rockets coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Here's a block from behind. Kuzma comes from the backside of Giddey to reject it. Bucks come away with a loose ball. Crossover from Rollins. Rollins takes it inside. Couldn't finish, but Kuzma taps it right back up and in. And that pressure Rollins put on, taking it coast to coast, set the table.
Kyle Kuzma, 11 points, 8 rebounds tonight. He's been terrific so far this season for the Bucks. And, you know, we heard Doc Rivers after the game and his post-game comments talk about Kuz being the Swiss Army knife, just in terms of what he's able to do defensively. You know, we saw him tonight take on Josh Giddey. We saw, I think, the two prime examples of his defensive prowess were against Josh Giddey tonight and against Karl Anthony Towns in that win against the Knicks. But we've seen Kuzma take on perimeter players. We've seen him take on some point guards occasionally. We've seen him take on bigs and more than hold his own. He's that versatile guy that can do basically everything for you defensively. And so much last season with the struggles that Kyle Kuzma had, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he didn't struggle last season. He did. I think Kyle Kuzma would be the first to acknowledge that as well. But a lot of those struggles, I still maintain, had to do with the position that Kyle Kuzma was put in and whether or not he was put in a position to succeed. You know, it's no secret the way Kyle Kuzma wants to play offensively. We've made the joke that he's Giannis light, or if you will, he's Giannis light. The reason for that is Kyle Kuzma is tremendous in transition, and he's versatile defensively. By the numbers, the Bucks' best offensive performances this season have come with Kyle Kuzma on the floor, in transition, with Kyle Kuzma on the floor, even more so than with Giannis. He's the other guy that's getting to the free throw line. Not as much as Giannis, but second in command, right? Tonight, into the third quarter, Giannis was the only player on the Bucks who had attempted a single free throw in this game. And then Kyle Kuzma gets to the line. He can do those things, getting in transition, putting pressure on the defense. But he rebounds, and that has been a big, big challenge for the Bucks for the first 8 games of the season. It was not the case tonight, thankfully. But Kyle Kuzma just has a knack for being around the ball and getting the ball. That's the important part of rebounding. You have to finish the possession. Because how many times this season alone have we seen the Bucks give up an offensive rebound, and it not only leads to a score for the opponent, it usually leads to a 3. Kyle Kuzma has been good at helping you avoid that. But so much of Kyle Kuzma's struggles last year were, let's just look at what was asked of him. Get in transition. He was playing with an older Bucks team and a team, when you look at the second unit, of guys that's not the way they're built to play. You know, Bobby Portis's of the world, Chris Middleton was traded for Kyle Kuzma. Bobby Portis's, Brooke Lopez, those guys, they're not getting up and down the floor in transition. So Kyle Kuzma was basically the only guy looking to do it and starting a one-man transition. Hit open shots. I mean, you still ask that of Kyle Kuzma. But the misnomer out there is whenever anybody references Kyle Kuzma with the Lakers, Bubble Kuzma, and what he did the year that the Lakers won the championship. He was better at shooting the basketball. But it's not as though Kyle Kuzma was a 40% three-point shooter or even high 30s. He was just slightly better, like 32% I think he shot there. You feel like you're going to get him even more quality looks here. But we just want you to take open threes in rhythm. Those are tougher to come by with some of the lineups that you had Kyle Kuzma on the floor with last year, because at one point we just kind of saw him not playing in those units with Giannis because of spacing issues. And that has changed once again this season. But the defense is the one thing we saw last year that carried over into this year, where I think it probably surprised a lot of Bucks fans to see the defensive ability of Kyle Kuzma. And the other thing that's been a surprise, I don't know if I'd say revelation, but certainly a surprise so far this season from Kyle Kuzma, has been his passing ability and floor vision. there were a lot of questions and criticisms, but questions over what are you going to get from Kyle Kuzma this season. And I think a lot of Bucks fans even viewed him as a trade chip, as a guy that you can move who'll become an expiring contract in a season. What can we get for his salary slot? And what we're slowly starting to see here is, you know, maybe that does eventually happen, but for the time being, Kyle Kuzma has proven himself to be a very valuable player to this team. And after watching tonight and watching the size that the Bucks leaned into, you didn't see a whole lot of both Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green on the floor together. You did see some instances, some more instances, of Ryan Rollins and Cole Anthony. But the difference there is that's your point guard and two guard. When A.J. Green and Gary Trent Jr. are playing on the floor together, that's your two and your three. And you've already got Ryan Rollins or Cole Anthony as your point guard. So you're extremely small. And that's where the rebounding issues have come into play for the Bucks so far. You know, coming into play tonight, less than a 70% defensive rebounding rate, which is, you know, basically unheard of ever since 2018 with this group and how they've played. Last year, the Bucks were the number three defensive rebounding team in the league. This season, they had slid down to 20th coming into play tonight. And you still have Giannis and Miles Turner, and I think that was one thing that a lot of us looked at and probably took for granted is, got Giannis and you got Miles Turner, they're going to be fine. And when we talked about the perimeter and are they too small, the question never came up about rebounding. The question was always, well, who do they have to defend bigger wings? Well, I don't know how much of a problem it's going to be compared to previous years when you got no Jason Tatum in the league and the Eastern Conference is down. Orlando, sure, you're going to have to face it there with a guy like Franz Wagner. Cleveland, not so much. I mean, DeAndre Hunter, but that's not a guy that scares you in a takeover mode. So I don't know. Maybe this isn't as much of an issue as we thought. The issue, though, as we found out, is going to be on the glass. 69.5% defensive rebounding rate tonight coming into play. That would be the Bucks' lowest defensive rebounding rate since the 2013-2014 season. The same season they finished 15-67, worst record in the NBA. They have been a top five rebounding team and a top five defensive rebounding team for all intents and purposes for the last 8 or 9 years. And this year just hasn't been there. And I do wonder if seeing those stretches where we didn't see quite as much of Green and Trent on the floor together, and we saw a ton from Kyle Kuzma, near 30 minutes, with no Taurean Prince tonight, which I don't know what to make of Doc Rivers' comments before the game. We'll get to that in a moment. But with no Taurean Prince, you saw Amir Coffey get a couple of more minutes. I can't help but wonder if maybe it's not so much a change to the starting lineup, but we just see things like that, where one of these guys gets the Keith Bogans treatment, for lack of a better way to put it, in terms of we're going to start you, but we're going to pull you early, and we're going to look for the minutes where we can actually play you. And that means more minutes for a guy like Kyle Kuzma. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, 126-110 final tonight. Bucks are 6-3 now to start the season. They are 9-0 in the now two-plus years of NBA Cup play in the group play stage. A big one with the Rockets on Sunday. We'll take a closer look at that matchup and more on the night from Giannis coming up after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Now he catches the pass from Trent. His free throw line jumper is no good. Giannis sinks his talons in, gets the rebound, and hammers it down with a foul. All the Greek freaks, and that ball is mine. Get out of the way.
It was a frustrating night for Giannis, but the final stat line, the counting numbers wouldn't show that. 41 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists tonight from Giannis as the Bucks take down the Bulls to start their slate of NBA Cup group play games here. 126-110 final tonight at Fiserv Forum. So Giannis started very inefficiently. had a handful of missed shots at the rim tonight. And it kind of all rolls into what I know Doc Rivers has been asked quite a bit about these past couple of games here. And you could tell from the tone in one of the answers that he gave, really has no more interest in discussing that. And that's some of the calls that the Bucks are or are not getting. There's a couple of ways to look at it in terms of how frequently the Bucks are getting to the free throw line, how much their opponents are getting there as well. It's certainly been a difference. And you know, outside of what we've seen here in quite some time, even tonight, Bucks did eventually get to 18 free throws. But Miles Turner took three. Ryan Rollins took two. Kyle Kuzma took two. All of those came late in the third quarter or fourth quarter. Giannis goes 8 of 11 at the free throw line. And here's the other thing. Hits another three tonight, where I believe he is now 7 of 13 on the season on three-point attempts. 8 of 11 at the free throw line is the more impressive part, but how he stuck with it. And despite the struggles, despite continuing to get beat up, he kept attacking. There was really only two possessions that I recall. Well, I wouldn't say Giannis wasn't looking to attack, but out on the run in fast break, we saw Giannis get rid of the ball a little earlier than you would ordinarily anticipate. And you can't help but wonder how much of that has to do with going down the lane, attacking, not getting the call time and time and time again. But there's one way to soften that up, and that's Giannis the facilitator. So it was really early in the third quarter we saw things start to change, and he became more of Giannis the facilitator opposed to Giannis the battering ram. And what that did, it moves the ball from side to side. It creates better looks. Eventually those shots start to fall, and then it makes the Bulls have to reconsider their defensive game plan, because to the naked eye tonight, it appeared the Bulls' strategy was we are going to do the opposite of what we've done all throughout the season. Throughout their first seven games, the Bulls have been one of the best teams at defending the three-point shot. Part of that is luck. Part of that is shooting luck. Part of it, though, is what you actually do. And what the Bulls have been doing was loading up their perimeter and saying, there's going to be opportunities to score in the paint on us, but we are going to pressure the ball. We're going to get out there on the perimeter, and we're going to make it tough for you to get off threes. They came in tonight, and it appeared they were doing the opposite, saying, you know what? If we do that, Giannis may have a 70-point game. We know the Bucks have been hitting threes. We know by the numbers last year and even this year, they're one of the better three-point efficiency teams. We'll live with it. We're going to crowd Giannis. We're going to pack the paint, and we're going to say these guys have to hit shots. And they weren't falling in the first half of the game. That was one of the other things that made it challenging for Giannis to find space and get that call. But when the shots started to fall, the space started to change a little bit, and that's when Giannis was able to find more and more of those openings, getting to the paint and finishing, but also starting to draw fouls in this game. With this performance tonight, the Bucks have now They now sit here, with the eighth best offense in the league, 117.4. They and the Bulls were neck and neck through the first seven games of the season for Chicago. I believe they were separated by one in the rankings. Chicago's still at 115.5. The defense, though, took a massive step forward tonight in the rankings for the Bucks, still sitting at 18. But it is a crowded field right now. That number has to come up. And I think if you look at the final 20 minutes of tonight's game, there's a lot of reason to believe that number will come up. You know, that first week of the season, it was like night and day with how the Bucks looked then versus how they looked to the previous three games prior to this Bulls game. They were connected defensively. We saw that group switching much, much more than we saw a year ago. Or I should say switching much more crisply. They've been very good in zone before the Pacers game. I haven't checked since then. But before the Pacers game, the Bucks were the number one team in the league in terms of defensive efficiency when they throw a zone out there at you. And that zone seemed to give the Bulls quite a bit of fits tonight in this game as well. But you saw a lot more of the bones of this defense with this performance tonight, and that's something that's going to have to improve. The Bucks, they really capped their ceiling if they're going to finish around middle of the pack to the lower half of the league in defensive efficiency. We saw that 2 years ago. We saw that, frankly, for large parts of last year. The offense has taken a massive step forward, though. That's the good thing. But you got to get the defense to slowly come along there as well. That Houston team, I said before, that is a high-powered offense. They are the number one offensive rating in the league at 121.1, and they're number seven in defense. This has been a very, very good team so far to start the season. I mean, the best teams in terms of net rating, the top four net ratings in the league have all come from the Western Conference so far. Oklahoma City Thunder, number one at 11.9. The Denver Nuggets, who are playing and up double digits right now on the Warriors, are number two at 10.4. Then you have the Rockets at 9.7. Then the San Antonio Spurs at 7.3. That is largely due to San Antonio's defense, which is largely due to Victor Wembanyama. And then it's five, where you finally get an Eastern Conference team in the Detroit Pistons, who, by the way, with this Bucks win tonight, the Pistons now have the best record in the Eastern Conference at 7-2, and we'll take it a step further. The top four records in the East all live in the Central Division. The 7-2 Pistons, the 6-2 Bulls, the 6-3 Cavs, and the 6-3 Bucks. But with that Rockets game specifically, that will bring the 10th game of the season for the Bucks. And, you know, Billy Donovan, coincidentally, since we are playing the Bulls, or played the Bulls tonight. Billy Donovan is the coach that I have heard reference this the most. You'll hear a lot of coaches talk about this, but Billy Donovan is the one that points it out the most. You view the season in 10-game samples. You know, it's small sample size, sure, but you want to look for trends that you're doing over those 10 games and then see how have we progressed from these 10 games to this 10 games. You know, whether it be defensively, offensively, individual players, things that we're doing, how have we grown along the way? And we point this out because after Sunday, you'll have your first set of 10 games to view. But coming into the season, I know I talked about this earlier in this season on this show. I talked about it on Locked On Bucks and a few other places as well. The start to the season for this team this year is important. I mean, it goes without saying after you started the season 2-8 last year in your first 10-game sample, but the start to the season is important because you can't get off to a slow start. You know, I don't think you need to blow the doors off and race out to a 9-1 start to the season, but it can't be 2-8. You got to avoid that because of the Eastern Conference being down and the opportunities that you're going to have there, but also because of some uncertainty that's surrounding your team and some looming off seasons. And bringing back a lot of the same pieces. There are some new pieces in place here, but for how much continuity there still is, it's important for you to get off to a good start. So what is a good start? What is the number you would throw out there? And I think a lot of fans would say, you know what? If you could start the season 6-4, great. 7-3, even better. But if we can get 6-4 and then just keep getting better throughout the course of the season, perfect. That's where you're at, right? We're not saying take your foot off the gas pedal, but even if you drop that game to the Rockets, you start the season 6-4 in your first 10 games. You win your 7-3. You can make a strong case too, hey, that Kings game, we really let it get away from us. We could and should be 7-2 right now. Like, we had a chance to win 8 of our first 10 games. They've answered the call so far. So I think number one, you want to look to how does this team stack up against one of the elites in the Western Conference in the Houston Rockets? And then after that, what do we see in those next 10 games? And then after that, the next 10 games, and start seeing how this team progresses from one phase to the next. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. One of the pieces with rebounding and defense is on the perimeter, and that is Taurean Prince. He did not play tonight with a neck injury, and I would say there's a lot of ambiguity around that. Doc Rivers talked about Taurean Prince and his status before the game. We'll dig into that and what it means for this team going forward coming up next.
This is Bucks Talk.
Dribble handoff now to Kuzma. Kuzma lobbed it up to Giannis. Giannis went into the air, comes down with it, falling down, feeds to Rollins, and Rollins strokes a beauty. Antetokounmpo with his best assist of the night right there.
Kyle Kuzma taking on an increased role once again tonight, obviously because of his play, which I think we spent a decent amount of time at the top of the show talking about how good Kyle Kuzma has been for this team in his role so far this season. But an increased role tonight, not only because he earned it, but because this is a game you didn't have Taurean Prince. And Amir Coffey, we saw, play 10 minutes. We saw Jericho Sims play 4 minutes. We even saw some interesting lineups where I believe you had Bobby, Jericho Sims, and Kyle Kuzma on the floor together. I know two of the three were Kuz and Jericho Sims. But we saw more size thrown out there on the floor. I do get the sense, given the rebounding numbers that we talked about earlier, again, 69.5% defensive rebounding rate. Nowhere near good enough for this Bucks team and where this team has traditionally been. Again, we reference some of the advanced numbers quite a bit, but what the rebounding rate means, so defensive rebounding rate, what that means is when the Bucks are on defense and the opponent misses a shot, right now, 70% of the time, the Bucks are getting that rebound. You want to be at the very least, the mid-70s to high 70s. That's a good defensive rebounding rate. Like, so far, the New York Knicks are number one at 77%. Rebounding rate, same story. When you're both on the floor, whoever it is, when there's a rebound and a rebounding opportunity, what percentage of the time do you get it versus the opponent? And, you know, the Bucks have... For a decade now, well, it was 1 year under Bud, but for the most part, for a decade, the Bucks have not been a good offensive rebounding team. But they've been elite at defensive rebounding, and that's been enough to push them up to very good on the total glass. 21st right now in rebounding rate. 48%. So less than half of the available rebounds in the game the Bucks are getting. Even after the performance tonight, where the Bucks are very good on the glass, you know, one game is not going to move the needle enough. You're still sitting below 70%. So this is a number that's going to have to continue to move north. And one of the ways to do that is to put more size on the floor. You know, I don't know what it was tonight, but I did the math looking through previous shifts and who was on the court when with each other. 22 offensive rebounds the Bucks had surrendered to opposing teams' wing players when the starters were on the floor. So in other words, not to single them out, but in other words, A.J. Green and Gary Trent Jr., when they were on the floor, opponents' wings pulled down 22 offensive rebounds. Way too much. So it's clear, watching some of the minutes tonight, they're looking to get some more size out there. Kyle Kuzma, as we mentioned, got more minutes tonight because there was no Taurean Prince. 28 minutes tonight for Kuzma. Taurean Prince was ruled out of the game, I believe, yesterday with a neck strain. And before the game tonight, you know, we didn't hear much mention about it. There was obviously no availability after a shoot-around or practice from Taurean Prince in either of the last two off days. But Doc Rivers, before the game tonight, said wasn't sure when it happened, whether it was in a game or it was practice or something else. But said a couple of things that set my radar off of, let's just keep an eye on this. And if this is a potentially long-term thing here with Taurean Prince, where, again, it's similar to the Kyle Kuzma discussion. Regardless of how you feel about him, there is a role for Taurean Prince. And especially as we talk about a team that just, number one, shooting is important. And Taurean Prince remains a very, very good catch-and-shoot three-point guy in this league. There's that. he has that familiarity with Giannis and understands that spacing and where he needs to put himself to get those balls. But he has also proven to be a good rebounder. A lot of the shortcomings or issues that he ran into a season ago had more so to do with him being played out of position. You know, asking Torian Prince to take on Tyrese Halliburton and smaller wing-type players. I think at this stage in his career, Torian Prince is probably ideally a small ball four-type guy and take on some wings and some threes. But Torian Prince, you feel confident, can help you out rebounding the basketball. So if this proves to be something big and Torian Prince is going to miss some time, that certainly changes things for this group. And you have to wonder, do you force feed a little more Amir Coffey? What does it mean for the role of Kyle Kuzma? The minutes we saw tonight with Jericho Sims, is that something you explore more of this season where it's Jericho Sims is basically going to be our four as long as we have more and more shooting around him? But rebounding is going to be important for this team. The two things that I said, you heard this and wondered, huh, that's interesting. Let's keep an eye on that. Not only I wasn't sure when it happened, but Doc Rivers asked about basically what they expect this to be for Torian Prince, a long-term thing, a short-term thing. Next can be tricky. And he said, I don't know, but I know there will be an MRI. And whenever you hear those three letters, doesn't always mean bad, but it means let's keep an eye on this because this could potentially be somewhat of an issue for the Bucks. You're already down Kevin Porter Jr., and I think the biggest loss there in KPJ, not only offensively, when we've seen this kind of stall at times and not as much of the side-to-side and ball movement, but KPJ, when we talk about that defense and rebounding, KPJ has really excelled with this group, especially when they play zone. The length that he has to get to balls, to get into passing lanes, these things all add up to some of the hits that we've seen this group take, even with some big performances that we mentioned throughout the season from Kyle Kuzma, from Ryan Rollins. What we saw from Miles Turner again tonight and what we've seen from Miles Turner in this time here so far, these things all add up. So I don't know how many more hits the Bucks could potentially take on the perimeter before you got to start to explore some other things here. But I think what we've seen tonight, and I think what the numbers told us coming into this game, is, hey, this team may be too small, and we're going to have to look at ways to address that. I think tonight was step one in that. Here's how we're going to address it. We're going to stagger the Giannis and Miles Turner minutes, which we hadn't seen really. We've seen a lot of starters and bench-only units. Doc Rivers had played the most bench-only units so far in the league this season. We saw staggering tonight with Giannis and Miles Turner. And it was interesting, too, to hear Doc say, you know, one of the reasons we did that was it gave Giannis three shifts per half versus the two. And we think that's going to keep him more energized, even though it means he's going to be playing more minutes. But it gave you a rim protector on the floor at all times, too. Because it's one thing if you have some defensive deficiencies in terms of can this guy stay in front of someone. It's another thing if there's no rim protection behind him. So I think that was a notable thing. I think staggering, too, in the sense of we saw Ryan Rollins, A.J. Green and Gary Trent Jr. start the game. We didn't see large stretches of those three playing together. I mean, there were stretches, but we didn't see certainly large stretches of Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green playing together. So there was staggering there, and then staggering just in terms of how they used Kyle Kuzma and really leaned into him down the stretch, but they kept size on the floor for large, large portions of this game. Again, the 4 minutes from Jericho Sims. Kuzma's 28 minutes. Bobby Portis played 20 minutes. Amir Coffey got 10 minutes tonight. 37 from Giannis. 31 from Miles Turner. Like, the guys that really played some of the most minutes were your bigs. Gary Trent Jr. only played 22 minutes. So that's another one of the takeaways go forward. And if you don't have a Torian Prince for a couple of games, for a couple weeks even, or longer, that's going to start to change how you can consistently do that as well. A busy night in the NBA Cup tonight, and we got two games that are currently in action. One of those two basically feels over. But some other notable scores, we'll get you up to speed on those. The cup groups themselves, we'll refresh you on that. Why point differential matters, why that final three that Miles Turner hit matters, and what you need to know about the NBA Cup. It's week two of the Cup, but this was night one for the Bucks. We'll give you your refresher coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
And now with 10.9 seconds to go, Rollins lobs it into Giannis. Giannis goes the other way. He'll feed Turner. Turner one last three, and he knocks it down. A fitting finish to this one tonight.
That three-pointer that Miles Turner hits, you could see in real time, kind of like a shoulder shrug or throw your hands in the air as if to say, What are we doing here? Was that necessary from Nikola Vucevic on that three? And yes, it is important. It was necessary because point differential matters in the NBA Cup. So that is the tiebreaker. If head-to-head can't settle it, if we need a tiebreaker for who wins their group, for the wild card, point differential is what we look to next. So every point counts. We saw a 40-point win tonight, I believe, from the Minnesota Timberwolves. We saw the Cavs put up 148 points. Doc Rivers mentioned it too. You know, that's one of the things that drives and helps drive interest in this tournament. Now, to Doc's point, what do we do afterwards? Like, that's the thing that I think the league is still kind of searching to find is, hey, group play, it's great. It brings more interest and intrigue in a game, you know, the first week of November on the regular season schedule than it otherwise would have. Even things like the tournament itself, once we get into the knockout rounds and the semifinals and the finals. But when we get past that, it was an awkward transition last year and the last 2 years. Okay, now we're done. Now back to regular games. So, like, there's got to be a better way for that, to build in some time off or something else is what Doc Rivers was advocating for, the time off. So the group play stages here. The Bucks are in Group C. And their group is the Miami Heat, the Bulls, who you obviously beat tonight, the New York Knicks, and the Charlotte Hornets. Bucks and the Heat right now are atop their group. They're both 1-0. But the Miami Heat won their game by 18. Bucks won by 16, so the Bucks are in second in the group. The Bulls are 1-1, so had the Bulls won tonight, they would have been 2-0 in first place with wins over the Bucks and the Knicks. Meaning, at worst, if the Bulls split their final two games against the Heat and Hornets, they're at least, at worst, they're in a tie for first place, and that it's going to come down to point differential. So the Bulls are in the driver's seat had they won this game tonight. In Group B, you got the Pistons, the Magic, the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Nets. Pistons and Magic both won tonight. Celtics are 1-1. Pistons won their game by 18. They're in first place. And then in Group A, you got the Raptors, Cavs, Hawks, Pacers, and Wizards. The Raptors are 2-0 with wins against the Cavs and the Hawks. The Raptors are in the driver's seat to win Group A. Their games remaining are against the two worst teams in the Eastern Conference, the Washington Wizards and the Indiana Pacers. So the Toronto Raptors are in prime position to be the first team to punch their ticket into the knockout round of the NBA Cup. The Cavaliers, and that's why you got to keep an eye on point differential, are plus 23 at 1-1. The 40-point win tonight really mattered for Cleveland, or not 40, but close to 40 that they won by. So keep an eye on the point differential in these games. And for the Bucks, their next group play game is next Friday night here at home against the Charlotte Hornets, who lost their game to the Heat tonight by 18 points. So that is a game you should expect to win and expect to win big. It leaves perhaps your two most challenging games for your final two, and those are road games in Miami the night before Thanksgiving, and then in New York the night after Thanksgiving. So they changed up the schedule of events for the Cup so far this season, where the new format is, as you remember, last year it was Tuesdays and Fridays that were Cup games. This year it's only Fridays. So it started on Halloween. It's going to go, obviously, this week, next week, and the following week, which brings us to the week of Thanksgiving. That week, every single day, games that are played will be NBA Cup games. So it does add more excitement to this time of year in this portion of the schedule here. And now it's just a matter of can the Bucks somehow remain unbeaten in group play. You like your chances for the Bucks to get to 10-0 all time in NBA Cup group play games. Again, that's next Friday against the Charlotte Hornets. But those final two are going to be a challenge. Speaking of a challenge, Sunday afternoon, the number one rated offense in the league, the Houston Rockets, come to town. Kevin Durant comes back to town. A lot of size. You go back to the Euro Cup, where we had that Greece versus Turkey game and Giannis versus Alperen Şengün, where there was certainly no love lost in that one. And at times it felt like a lot of bad blood. It's going to add even more intensity and intrigue to this matchup here on Sunday against a very good Houston Rockets team. But so far, it's been a good start to the season for the Bucks. Again, areas you can clean up. A lot of that would start with defense and your defensive rebounding ability. But 6-3, without your starting point guard, without a couple of players here and there, slowly starting to figure some things out in how this team fits together, especially with Miles Turner, who, by the way, is just looking more and more comfortable alongside Giannis and in his role with this team every single day. And that's one of the things we heard from Doc Rivers after the game as well. And in terms of the Bucks, just telling him, hey, don't feel like you always have to fade on those pick and rolls. You can roll the rim, do whatever you did in Indiana and whatever makes you feel comfortable, and let's get Miles Turner going. Sunday afternoon, 2:30 tip time, Bucks and the Rockets. 2 o'clock is when the pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.